This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
But growing up, MJ, like, I mean, he's the guy, man. Like, yeah. It's not...
Well, and you were a Jordan athlete, so...
I'm a Jordan athlete, but...
Hey, you retired. Are you still getting Jordan stuff?
Right now, I'm still getting my boxes, man.
Hey, welcome back to Believe in Dodgers with the Dugout Dudes. I'm your co-host, Brett Tomko, along with my partner, Josh Luke. Last week, we had on the incredible CC Sabathia for part one of our two-part podcast. We hit on some great topics, including CC's incredible weight loss and, you know, jacked physique. We hit on the 2009 World Series run. And this week, we'll hit on some really cool stuff. We'll talk about the possibility of CC entering the Hall of Fame, which I think he's a no-brainer. And we'll get into a few other things as well. So sit back and enjoy part two of CC Sabathia. Yeah. Did you ever think it was weird? This is kind of off topic. Seeing all the Yankees greats walk around the clubhouse. Like, old timers day for me that year, like, I was blown away. Like, it almost doesn't seem real. You have Yogi Berra, Reggie Jackson, Whitey Ford, all these guys that like seem like mythical, like fictional baseball characters walking around the club, and you get to like hang out and route. Yogi Berra was hilarious.
Yogi was the best, but like you said, it's just like baseball gods. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you get a chance to put that uniform on, so then you're kind of like a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that back wall that we have in the clubhouse where
everybody signed it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, just the amount of names, the Hall of Famers, like, the guys that have played, that put that uniform on, it's incredible to be a part of that.
I had a buddy of mine was in the clubhouse, and he sent me a picture of that. And he goes, can you find your name? And I literally found it within, like, you know, you zoom in. I'm like, dude, that's exactly where I signed it. And you start thinking about it, because I'm a little bit of, like, a baseball, like, historian and fan. Like, I appreciate all that stuff. Like, the impact, like going to Boston and New York and Wrigley, like all the history and getting to play for the Yankees, even though my time was short, like it's kind of a big deal. You got to play for one of the best franchises ever. That last year, you struck out, you got your 3,000 strikeout.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever sit back and think, first of all, only 18 pitchers to do it, and you're the third left-hander to do it ever in the history of baseball. Like, do you ever think about that and go, that's crazy? Like, to think about like the significance of that.
I always think about it, and then I think about the third lefty, which is crazy because it's Randy Johnson and Steve Carlton. Like, I'm not even in the same league as those dudes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course you are.
So to be able to, like, have my name on that list, but then to be the third African-American, like, that's a big thing too because, you know, I came from the hood. I grew up in the inner city in Vallejo, and to be able to, like, have a borderline Hall of Fame career, have 3,000 strikeouts. No, like,
it's not borderline. We're going to talk about that in that slow segment. It's not borderline.
We'll see. I mean, I pray for it. Hopefully that happens. But, like, just even to be mentioned, you know what I'm saying? Like, coming from where I came from, it's amazing. I get goosebumps right now just thinking about it. Like, it's incredible, man. Like, to be able to beat those odds and be able to pitch for 19 years and, like, I don't know. It's nothing that I could have ever dreamed of in my life, ever.
Yeah, I think when you get done, and you'll find this, because I'm 5 years out, I think, maybe six. You start reflecting a little bit more, like, about what you've done. It'll almost seem like you don't even remember some of it. Like, if you think about your first couple years in Cleveland, like, stuff you did, it almost will seem like a lifetime ago. And it'll start really hitting home. There's sometimes I get, like, sad about it. Sad in a way of, like, I miss it. And it's like, God, I can't believe I got to do that. And the significance. So you're going to start going through those emotions. And you're going to start thinking about what you did. Like, granted, I won 100 games. I struck out, like, 1,200 people. Like, a third of what you did. So, like, I'm a third of a Hall of Famer. That's kind of what my brother and I joke around about. But you'll start thinking about, like, that stuff, like, God, that was, man, I put some work in. And there'll be a sense of pride about that, too. It's pretty amazing. The only thing I can say of three, I hold, like, a weird I don't want to say record, but Max Scherzer, myself, and someone else. I was watching TV. It was one of two things. I'm blanking. It's either gave up 5 home runs in a game. There's only like 3 pitchers to ever do it, and I'm one of them. Or it was that, or start a game off with 3 consecutive home runs. It was one of those things where I'm like, dude, I'm one of those 3 pitchers.
I'm one of those.
So see, I mean, when I think, I don't know if I'm in that caliber of those pitchers, like you're saying, but it's the only thing I got to hang my hat on, my friend.
More strikes though, so that's good. That's a good thing. I
mean, you're talking about Hall of Fame stuff. I'm talking about giving up bombs. So listen, so like in 5 years, you're going to be up for the Hall of Fame. Like, have you like thought about that? Like the significance of that?
I haven't thought about it yet. Like I'm more excited to go for Jeets. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my first like real friend that's going to the Hall of Fame. So maybe if I get there, like if you know, next year when they do the ceremony, then maybe I'll think about it. But like something that would be really cool is that somebody told me, cause me and Ichi came in together. 2001 was our first year.
And but you got robbed of a rookie of the year. You were second.
He won the rookie of the year and the MVP, which is crazy. But if he retired at the beginning of last year, I retired at the end, so we could go into the Hall of Fame together, which would be sick. Obviously, he's the first ballot. You know, we'll have to see what happens with me. But to be able to be rookies that year, like battling for rookie of the year, and then retire the same year, and then go into the Hall of Fame, that'd be incredible.
Like, listen, I was doing some research for this last night and looked at Hall of Fame. There's 80 pitchers in the Hall of Fame, and of the people that have struck out 3,000, there's only 2 guys that are not in the Hall of Fame. It's Schilling and Clemens. And that's because it's more of the reasons of there's a little controversy around the steroid era and if they did stuff and if they didn't do stuff. And Schilling's pretty outspoken, so some of the media writers don't really love him. But if you think about that, like, there's no way you don't get in. In my mind, and he had 251 wins. I started looking at pitchers of those 80 pitchers that had more wins than you. There's not a ton of them. I mean, like, there's maybe a third that had more winners. And you're talking about guys that pitch like in the 40s where they're making like 50 starts a year.
Yeah.
So there's just, like, in my mind, there's no way you don't get in.
No, it's just crazy to think about. Like, when I was 20 years old, you know, I got my first win in Detroit. And didn't even know if I won the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no idea, like, how a win worked, all of that shit. Burbs was another one that came in and was like, hey, kid, you just got the win. Like, I went 5 innings, gave up 6 runs, and in the top of the next inning before somebody came in, we scored a bunch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you like that. That's a win?
Like, how the fuck this work? You know what I'm saying? Like, from win one to win 251, like, it was just an incredible journey. So – no, I'm blessed either way, but you know, I would love to be a Hall of Famer.
I wore my Cooperstown hat just for you from Baseballism. I wore it just for this.
I was gonna ask you, what do you think about the steroid era guys going into the Hall of Fame? Because obviously you played. I played at the tail end of that era.
Yeah, I played right in the middle of it.
You played right in the middle of it. Like, what do you think about that?
I was super naive when I came, kind of like you. Same thing. Like, I didn't know what was going on, so I'm going out there and pitching games, and I'm facing McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, like those guys that were massive men, like bigger than I'd ever seen. And I just thought that's who they were. And so I didn't really realize how rampant it was when I was doing it. So when I think back on it now, like, I was clean. I wasn't doing that stuff. I already threw hard. Like, the temptation to do it for me was like, I already threw 96, 97 miles an hour. Like, am I going to throw 100 and be that much better? Or am I going to get hurt? So like, I didn't do it, but you know, I wanted it an even playing field, you know, because those guys, to me, it wasn't the big hitters that bothered me. It was the middle infielders. It was the second baseman or the shortstop that was a career like 230 hitter that I'm supposed to get out in like 4 pitches, and they're sitting there fouling balls off and running my pitch count up. Those are the guys that irritated me the most. You know, when I think on the flip side, like, I get why guys did it. I totally get it. You know, you're talking about an absurd amount of money. Some guys that are borderline AAA guys, big league guys, that might be the difference between, and I had a lot of friends that did it, that admitted it, that got caught in the whole Mitchell report. And I don't blame them. I don't think worse of them. They're good people. They're really good people. But you know, when I'm interested, and I always talked about it, like, hey, why did you do it? couple guys are like, I was super self-conscious. I was worried about supporting my family and making money to take care of them. So I get it. I totally got it. But, you know, I wanted an even playing field. Should those guys get in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. You can't take away what Barry Bonds like. Yeah. So what? He had a 600-foot home run instead of a 550-foot home run. Yeah. Like that doesn't bother me. So those are tremendous athletes that are going to shape the baseball history. At some point, I think, you know, if the stats and all that stuff are on the field, show it. Why not?
Yeah. You see, I'm like you. Like at that time, I mean, obviously, I was coming up through Double A and Triple A. I mean, Single A and Double A and all that stuff. And you saw guys doing it, you know. But like, I was just too lazy, and I already
like, I gotta take it, and I gotta work out.
I gotta work out on the shit. Fuck that. No chance. Like, I'll take my chances just being fat and throwing hard. Like.
But that, I think that was for us. We already threw hard.
Yeah.
So you're taking risk reward. You're like, do I take the chance of? I mean, you are already up towards 100. Like, am I gonna throw 102 and be that much better, and take the chance of like blowing out in my fourth year? My whole thing was, you played 19 years. I played 20 years of professional ball. Did you play more? How many total years?
I would have played 21 total years.
So 21 total years. My whole thing was, I would rather make the same amount of money I was going to make in 20 years than play 5 years and make that money.
Yeah.
So like, that's kind of like the thought process. Could I have made more money if I did better? Maybe. But my thought process, I wanted the experience. I wanted to meet all these friends. Like, I wanted to have teammates like you and AJ and Swish that if I would have got hurt, I wouldn't have had all those stories. I wouldn't have had all those friendships and relationships. So it kind of, you know, I played the risk reward thing.
That's true. That's a great way to look at it too. Like having a longer career over, you know, being massive and being the best for a short amount of time. You know what I'm saying?
Think of the things you would have missed out on. You would have missed out on tons. Say you blew out in, say you did it and you blew out in 2007. There's no World Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Granted, you made a bunch of money and that's great. And that's, you know, it's always important. People say the money's not, of course it is. You can take care of your family. That's all good. But yeah, you had the World Series. Like that's, you know, I was there for 3.5 months. I got a World Series ring. It's a cool thing to have.
Yeah,
not everything, but it's the experience.
Nah, it makes you feel good about, at the end of your career if you got a ring. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I have my ring. I brought it out just to have it because I heard you say last night you didn't even know where yours were.
I gotta figure out where that thing is, bro. I have no idea where it is.
I did. I was like, God, where did I put it? I think it's in my safe. I don't know if it is or not. But like, yeah, I've worn it a few times, like here and there. I almost feel bad wearing it sometimes. I've done some stuff where Trevor Hoffman was there.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had my ring on. It was like at a fundraiser and I took it off and put it in my pocket. I was like, here's a guy that's like a Hall of Famer. Doesn't have a World Series. I was almost like, almost felt bad.
But
like,
you know what though? I bet you he would trade you the Hall of Fame for that ring.
Oh, but I mean, for sure. And you know, I think as kids we sit, I mean, I can remember playing wiffle ball with my brother in the backyard. I was the Mets, Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden. And it's two outs, bottom of the ninth, 3-2 in the World Series.
In the World Series.
That's what we're playing for. And like, it means a lot. And granted, like I said, I had got released and broke my shoulder. I was the biggest fan of you guys. You had never seen anyone cheering more than me when you guys were out there. I had a broke shoulder and I just had my two kids. And they're sitting next to me and I'm in a sling. I'm like, I still remember when A-Rod hit that home run like late in the game to like, I think it was a tied up or take the, I was screaming because like I knew the magnitude, like this may be my only shot at ever getting a World Series ring.
Yeah. Yo, that coming back from that shoulder injury is tough. I can't believe you did that. Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is rehabbing this shoulder, man. Like, obviously I blew it out on the last pitch of the, you know, my career last year, but like I've ripped my capsule, labrum, everything. And it's been rough, man. I haven't had a good night's sleep since that night.
You have to get it in good enough shape. We do a thing in Wichita. It was supposed to be back on this year where a bunch of old players come and we play in a tournament. I've been texting you for like 3 years.
Yeah,
okay, I'm ready for that. You are done. You got to do this. So you got to get it enough to come out there. Like you said, you could be a bullpen guy, one hitter.
No, I might come in and get a lefty out. I won't be able to do any. But I'll get it back too. I can get a. I want to hit too. Can we? Can I?
Absolutely. Brad Penny, Jason Marquis in the final game 2 years ago played left field. Because we had guys go home, like, because there's obligations. We're there for like a week or 10 days, and guys are like, I got to go back home. I got to work. I got to do this. So Marquis's like, I'm sticking. I'll play left field. So yeah, in first base, we got LaRoche playing first, but I think you got more power than LaRoche.
No, nah, I'm good. I can play the outfield by then. I'm leaning out, dog.
Hey, you touched on one thing. You talked about being the third pitcher with 3,000 strikeouts, the only African-American. Do you think about that when it comes to the Hall of Fame? Like, I think Lee Smith is the last African-American to get in the Hall of Fame. And there's not a ton. If you take the Negro League guys out of the picture in the modern day era, there's not a ton of African-Americans. And there's definitely a decline in the amount of kids that are playing baseball right now. I know you had on your podcast, which we haven't even talked about, R2C2 is your podcast. Yeah. That's awesome. If anybody is listening, go listen to CC's podcast. It's great. But you and Justin Upton talked about a little bit about it. What do you think is going on with it, all that?
Man, you know, it's tough in the inner cities, because obviously baseball is an expensive sport. You know, they don't have it available at the Boys and Girls Club. And that's where really you learn how to play sports if you grew up like I did. I went to a Boys and Girls Club, learned how to box, basketball, football, but there was no baseball. So, you know, my mission is to try to bring, you know, baseball back to the inner city. Another big thing, too, is you can't get a full scholarship. So a kid like me that grew up in Vallejo that played football and baseball, I played basketball, too, but I was a better football and baseball player. Like, if I would have went to college, I would have had to play football because my mom can't make up the difference in that scholarship. You know what I'm saying? So that just kind of takes kids out of it. So we got to figure out a way to, you know, get these kids to the next level. You know, for me, being who I am, like, I never wanted to change who I was. I always go to the Boys and Girls Club in the Bronx. I always go back home and I'm doing stuff and I'm trying to be in the communities just so I can let people see me. Like, Dave Stewart walked to my Boys and Girls Club when I was 9 years old, and it changed my life. You know what I mean? Like, set me on the path where that's what I want to do. Like, I want to be that guy. So I want to be that one of those guys. I want to be that guy for one of those kids. So it's important to me. Like, it's super important to me, the work me and my wife do for the Boys and Girls Club, being there, not just throwing money at it, and like actually being in the community and you know, trying to be a real role model for one of these kids.
Hey, while we're all being safe, waiting this out at home, you can still have fun betting with our partner, betonline.ag. No NBA, NHL, or MLB, but don't worry. BetOnline still has hundreds of games, events, and sports to wager on. NASCAR, Madden, and NBA 2K simulations, UFC, online casino with poker and blackjack. And be sure to check out The Final Dance with roundtable interviews from ex-Chicago Bulls, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges, and Ron Harper as they discuss the Michael Jordan documentary in full. There's still fun to be had, so go to betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Yeah, because I think that's the main point you just said. You're there. You're not just a name to a foundation or what you're doing. You're actually hands-on. You're at the events. You're giving out backpacks. You're giving out shoes. You're giving out clothes. You're giving out everything, and you're present. And I think that's the biggest thing, because without like role models and superstars that have done it to say, hey, if I can do it, and this is where I came from, you can do it too.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I think that's important, CC. I think it's a job well done.
Thank you. And I still have a great close relationship with Dave Stewart. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Stu's the best, man.
Stu's awesome. But like, meeting him at 9 years old is the only reason I'm sitting here today. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
Stu lives. We live in the same city.
Oh, okay.
He lives like 5 minutes from me. And so we'll run into each other at random places, like the golf course or something. I'd be like, what's up, Stu? And he's just always got that like serious look. But he's like so soft-spoken. He gave one of the best talks I've ever seen. It was 2010 after I broke my shoulder. I re-signed with Oakland, and I was in extended spring coming back from it. And he got to talk to the extended spring kids. And I have never wanted to grab a ball and go out and pitch more than after that talk. And I had, you know, I had 12 years in the big leagues at that point. Yeah. And I was like, man, if you're not motivated by that, and it's him coming out and talking to these younger kids. And granted, these kids were already signed and delivered to Oakland. But, you know, it's that motivation. It's that presence and being, like I said, being present. That's going to make a world of difference in these kids' lives.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to wrap you up. Usually we play a game with everyone. So I've tailor-made a game to you. So it's called A, B, or CC. All right. So I'm going to give you just a little question and a multiple choice, and you can elaborate on the answers, or you can just leave it as a one word answer.
All right.
What food are you over on this diet? A, quinoa, B, meats, or CC veggies?
I would have to go with B.
Meats?
I'm good on the veggies and the quinoa. Like, I'm locked in. Like, you know, I feel pretty good. Like, I'm
meat sweats at night. You're like,
that's what, so yeah. Over. Like, when I have a steak, I'm like, fuck, man. What about?
All right. What do you miss the most on the diet? A, pizza, B, pasta, or CC desserts or donuts?
Oh, it'd have to be CC. It'd have to definitely be desserts, donuts. Like, my wife laughs at me because, like, I'm on my Instagram all day just looking up, like, gluten-free and like vegan desserts and like shit that we can bake, but I'm a huge sweets guy. Like, I mean,
that's got to be hard. Like,
it's hard with the sweets.
Have you and cheated, like, at all? Have you gone like, dude, I'll just have a little bit?
I haven't.
Are you afraid you're gonna go off the deep end?
Nah, I won't go off the deep end. Like, I'm pretty locked in right now, but it's like, for me, it's no point in cheating right now, because like, I'd much rather just wait till I can go to Carbone and then have dessert there. You know what I'm saying? Right, like,
do it all. Have it all.
While we're here at the house, I might as well lock in on the diet so that, you know, I have better habits when we do get to go outside. So I haven't cheated at all, man. I've been doing pretty good. But like, I can go like 6 months without a dessert, and then I'll have dessert every night for 2 years straight. Dude, you know what I'm saying? So,
my kids, every night, no matter how much food they eat, we'll eat, and literally if we eat late and in bedtime soon, it's like clockwork. We're like, hey, let's watch a show before bed. As soon as that show comes on, they're like, what's for dessert? Every single night. And it's hard not to, like, you're like, I'm dad. Like, yeah, I'll have a cookie with you. I felt guilty last night having a cookie because I just watched you on MLB Live, and you're talking about not having a donut for months. I'm like, oh, well, I'm gonna be eating this cookie right now.
My youngest daughter is a baker, so she makes pizookies every night. Like, she'll make a whole pan of cookies and like make it into that one big cookie, put ice cream on top, literally every night. The other day, my wife is in here. She's making donuts tomorrow morning. So like,
so your family doesn't love you.
Apparently. My family don't give a, they don't care at all. Like, they don't, like, if I'm on the diet, they go the opposite way. Like, they bring Chick-fil-A and Burger King and everything in. Like, it's hard to like stay away from it.
All right. Best big league city for food. A, New York, B, Atlanta, CC, Chicago.
Chicago for sure. I love Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago in the summertime is the best city in America to me.
Dude, like, nothing like getting up, going to grab some lunch, walking down Michigan Avenue, doing some shopping like that. That, like, everyone say, what's your favorite road city to go to? I love Seattle. I think Seattle has it. Like,
Seattle's dope too. Seattle's got great food, by the way.
Great food. Great. I played there 2 years, and like, it was some of my favorite 2 years. But Chicago, yeah. There's something about summertime, like right on the lake and a little wind.
It's clean. It's like, and when it's nice and it's not cold and windy, literally they got the best restaurants. Like, they got a towel there now. Like, they got everything. Like, staying at the Peninsula right there by Michigan Avenue, my favorite hotel.
Well, plus, if you go into the city to New York, like, dinner's going to cost you like $2,000.
Yeah. So, you know what's crazy is that, like, playing in New York, it takes New York out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes it out for me because, you know, I don't really go into the city that much. So, you know, going to even like Ronda Japan to Chicago.
Rana Japan's. That was Japan. I haven't heard that forever. Pete Arnish, we would go into Chicago, and especially the young kids, like, listen, hey, I got three dinners. Anybody that wants to come with me can come with me. It was Cheesecake Factory, Giordano's East.
Giordano's
East and yep. Rana Japan's. Yep. And that order is like, it's in that order. It's not changing. If you want to go, you're welcome. If not, don't even bother. That's every what, single time.
Like playing with the Indians, you stay at that Westin. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, when you play for the Yankees, you stay at that Peninsula. Giordano's is right out of the door.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally right there. So, like, I mean, I would walk there for lunch every day.
Rana Japan, that shrimp appetizer with that egg gunk thing on top. Yeah, oh, man. I haven't thought about that place in years.
The heart attack, they called it.
All right. Best basketball player, A, Michael Jordan. B, Steph Curry. C, LeBron James.
Nah, MJ for sure. Have you been watching this documentary?
I've seen one episode of it, yeah.
Yeah, nah. It's, with the doc, it's getting this generation, letting this generation know who the real GOAT is. So, like, I've been enjoying watching it. I make my boys watch it. We watch it, rewatch the episodes and all that stuff.
Because you have history with LeBron and Cleveland. You guys are buddies.
Yeah,
you
know, I've been watching LeBron since he was a freshman. I started watching when he was a freshman in high school. So, yeah, I've been knowing LeBron since he was 14 years old. We got a good relationship. I do the podcast Uninterrupted, really close with Mav. But growing up, MJ, like, I mean – he's the guy, man. Like, yeah. It's not.
Even, well, and you were a Jordan athlete. So
I'm a Jordan athlete, but
do you still get? Are you still? Hey, you retired. Are you still getting Jordan stuff?
Right now, I'm still getting my boxes, man.
That's a big thing. Hey, listen, I was an Adidas guy. That when I stopped playing, like it got cut off. And it's like the rations that are up in my closet are dwindling little by little. So it's like there's like an Adidas outlet about 20 minutes from me. So I'm like, I gotta go get my Adidas from the outlet now because it's like
man, I'm luckily still getting my boxes right now, man.
I always send you a text like size 13, man. If you're not here to California, let's go. I just got some Jordan golf shoes.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, yeah.
Golf shoes now.
Yeah. Best Raiders coach ever. Tom Flores, B, John Madden, C, John Gruden.
I'm going to have to go with Flores for sure.
Any, you want to talk about Gruden at all?
I mean, not really.
I know you love him.
Hopefully he can turn it around, man. We've drafted good the last 2 years, though.
They had a good draft this year. Good.
We've drafted, Mike Mayock is awesome. So, you know, hopefully he can turn it around and get some good personnel in there and we can, you know, do some things in Vegas. I'm looking forward to going to Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, that leads into our next question. Best Raiders home city, A, L.A., B, Oakland, C, Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go, I mean, all three, really? Like, how can
no,
you
– No, come on, like Oakland? Like Oakland? Like, that's but, not like
– the actual, like, stadium. But, like, that being so close to my house, like, where I can just drive to a Raider game, like –
Well, and the tailgating in Oakland is amazing.
The tailgating was legendary in Oakland.
Yeah, you can't get – I don't think there's a better stadium set up for that.
No, I only tailgated a couple times in L.A., but I was as a kid. But I'm wondering how it's going to be in Vegas with the tailgating. But, I mean, Vegas is so entertaining and stuff to do. Like
That stadium's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. I mean, it looks insane. So I'm just looking forward to just be having a chance to hang out in Vegas and, like, enjoy the show, make it a whole weekend, you know what I mean?
Did you get season tickets?
No, I didn't buy season tickets. I'm waiting to see. Everybody went crazy and bought them all up right away, so I'll wait a couple of years and maybe get into a suite.
All right, best Yankee of all time, A, Babe Ruth, B, Mickey Mantle, C, Joe DiMaggio. These are old-timers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mickey Mantle.
Mickey Mantle, that's a solid choice.
Power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Best Yankee you played with? A, Mariano Rivera. B, Derek Jeter. C, Brett Tomko.
I'm gonna go with Mo and Tomko.
Mo was great. Mo was like, I got to spend a lot of time with him down in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And nothing of what I expected him to be. I had played with Trevor, and you think about the two of the best closers of all time, arguably. And Trevor's great. He's one of my favorite players that I've ever played with. Joke around the first three innings, middle three innings in the clubhouse, the last three innings, he's locked in. Don't talk to him. Unless he addresses you, don't talk to him. Mo was different. Mo come down there and just hang out. And there'd be, I'd be watching the game and you can tell you're like, gosh, it's close. You know, it's the ninth inning, you know, the runs on the board. And he's just like, shooting the shit with you. And I'm like, Mo, you gotta like, yeah, be ready. And then all of a sudden he gets called. He takes his few warm-up pitchers and goes out there and gets it.
Yeah. I mean, just the way he dominated the league with one pitch for however many years he played. I mean, that's incredible to do. And he could pitch. Like, yeah. He could throw his two-seamer. He had a good changeup. Like, but all he needed was that cutter. Like, I mean, and for him later in his career to start throwing that two-seamer, he was
he was incredible.
And he could teach you a lot. Like, he taught me that cutter. Him and Andy taught me the cutter.
So when he taught you the cutter, I know I asked him about the cutter. I think, like, dude, this is my chance to learn the best cutter in the game.
Yeah.
So he's telling a story like – well, he's telling a story like growing up and working on a fishing boat when he was like 13. Yeah. And so now he's telling me the cutter and he's like, yeah, I just pick the ball up and I hold it. And at the last second, I just go like, and I'm like, that's it. Like, what are you saying? Like, that's the key to this cutter, is this at the end. I'm like, how did you think of it? Like, were you on the boat and someone made you mad and you threw a fish and it cut? And you're like, oh man, I must have thrown a baseball like that. But that was it. Like, he had this little thing and that's what's his thought. But that's a lot of pitching. It's that thought process.
Yeah. I mean, but even just how you interpret it. So like, me interpreting that right there was just like, all right, so how can I get my arm in that position so I don't have to do this? So right. Like, for me, like the way I thought about it, like, I was always just like throwing a football. Like, I would be like throwing a football and then I would just cut it in half, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, no, for
it's
sure.
It's the weirdest thing. So my hand was still in the same position, but I would have it basically cocked from back here. You know what I'm saying?
Your cutter the last couple years was ridiculous.
It was getting good. I wish I would have learned when I first got there.
Right? Same thing. My cutter the last like 4 years of my career, I wish I would have learned that like right at the beginning.
Man,
I would have thrown my slider away. Said, I don't need a slider.
I wish I would have threw the two seamer and the cutter in Cleveland. Like, I would have been a different guy.
I would have won 105 games probably. All right. I got how many more I got? I got a few more. Toughest father son combo you think to face? We got Vladdy and Vladdy Jr.
Wow.
The Bichettes or the Gwynns?
Vladdy and Vladdy Jr.
I faced Tony and Tony and Tony Jr. Is that weird for you two? Like, was that weird? Yeah. I know when I faced Jr. Tony, it was weird because I faced your dad. Like, I know how to get your dad out. Do I pitch you the same? Like, I don't know. But yeah, like Vladdy Jr. is a different animal.
And he knows how to hit. And obviously, Vlad, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. But you know what was even like the weirdest thing for me? Is last year in spring training, I faced Daz Cameron. I faced Mike Cameron.
Oh, no way.
Bro, he was like, he used to shag in the outfield with me in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I'm facing him like at Himes. And I'm like, oh, this is like, dude, this is the weirdest shit I've ever done on the baseball field. Like, this is crazy. Like,
Daz was in the clubhouse in Seattle when I played with Mike. But he was like 2 years old.
He was a baby. That's what I'm saying. So like, to see him now in AAA, like, it was crazy.
That's when you know you're old. I'm done. Okay. Big game starter. You got one start. Who are you going to throw out there? You got A, Ben Sheets. B, AJ Burnett. C, Andy Pettitte.
I would go. Oh, I'm going Tite all day. Andy Pettitte. You know, he won in 09. He won every game, clinching. He clinched every series.
Twins,
the Angels and the World Series. So no better guy to have out there besides Andy Pettitte.
All right, Josh is not. Josh had to take a leave of absence, so we're finishing up. If you got to drill one Astro, who are you drilling? A, Correa. B, Altuve. C, Bregman.
I think all three of them right in a row. Just put a warm in and throw me out.
Dude, you will make Josh the happiest person ever with that answer. There's an ongoing thing this whole podcast, because it's Dodger based, and it's Josh hates the Astros. In every aspect of life, hates the Astros. He would love that. All right, two more. What stat is the most impressive to you? A, 251 wins. B, 3,000 strikeouts. CC, playing 19 years.
CC for me, 19 years. I never dreamed of playing that long. Like, for me, it was just a dream to play in the big leagues. And I remember my rookie year, like every day I thought I was getting sent down. You know what I'm saying? Like you just think somebody's coming.
Looking over
like,
your shoulder all the time.
Every day. So to be able to like have a full career and you know, go from the youngest guy in the league to one of the oldest or the oldest, like it was just a blessing. I keep saying that, but I never could have dreamed, you know, playing that long.
Yeah, it's the longevity. I mean, I think that's the most impressive. All right, next question. When you enter the Hall of Fame, what uniform are you going to wear? A, Cleveland Indians. B, Milwaukee Brewers. C, New York Yankees.
Nah, New York Yankees for sure. To be a part of this, like this organization and the history, and you know, if I am lucky enough, I definitely want to have an NY on my cap for sure.
Well, listen, in my mind, you're a no-brainer Hall of Famer. And like I said, you know, the longevity of playing, I think when it's all said and done, you're in the Hall of Fame, you know, are people going to be able to rattle off your stats? 251 wins, you know, 3 point whatever ERA, 3,000 or whatever strikeouts? Probably not. But when it comes down to it, I think we all want it. At the end of the day, when somebody says, hey, what kind of guy was CC Sabathia? Dude, he was a great guy. He was awesome. Like one of my favorite teammates to play with. And I think, you know, for me, that was important, playing as long and being part of teams, that you want to have people remember you as being a good dude. And I think you're one of the best, dude.
I appreciate that, man. And that's something that I like really strive to be, is just like a good teammate. And, you know, to hear you say that, you know, we played together, and to hear you say that is awesome. So that was just something that, you know, came from the Indians, and, you know, take care of your teammates, be a good teammate, but, you know, go out and play hard, and that's all I tried to ever do.
All right, buddy. If you want to hear CC on his podcast, it's R2C2. Check it out. It's great. You guys got a lot of episodes. I listened to it to try to get some pointers. And enjoy quarantine, man. It looks like you're thriving.
We try to keep it going, man.
Right, man. All right, man. I appreciate you coming on, buddy.
No problem.
All right. See you, bud.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.